Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Video games. Welcome once again to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me as always...
Hello, filthy animals. My name is Ben Vanel, and I'm excited to be recording in yet another new location.
Yeah, let's not reveal where that is, though.
Okay.
Let's keep people guessing.
Yeah, all right.
Could be anywhere for all they know.
And joining us...
But you're feeling real at home here, Tommy. Thanks for having us this week, everyone.
That's right. We're recording in the zoo. That's why I feel so at home here, because I'm a fucking animal.
You're a little baboon, mate.
Yeah.
Showing us your ass all the time.
Well, that's why. Okay.
My name's Adam, by the way.
Fuck.
Really? Finally. Yeah. I've been calling you Jimbo.
Pretty sure I've mentioned on the show the last several weeks that I'm in the process of moving house.
It's nicely set up. You got your big ass TV in the corner.
Yep.
What's that thing do? 1080p?
Does 1080p, does
what do you got,
does 480i
there?
Does a bit of that fucking 4K.
Oh, brother.
4K.
Whoa.
Fucking A.
4K and L. Got onto that smart TV shit the other day.
Mm.
Just having that Netflix logged in straight on the telly. It's good stuff.
Oh, okay.
I've always found that stuff way more annoying to use than it should be. It's always real slow.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because they've had it for
until
like
now.
It for like 4 years and it just did not work. It was like you can watch YouTube straight off your remote. It's like the most piece of shit version of YouTube.
And you turn the TV on and then push the button and it says, "Please wait."
Yes.
Yeah.
And it takes about 2 minutes for it to go like, "All right, now."
Yeah.
I just wanted you to see if you wanted to watch MasterChef for a bit, but I guess you don't.
I took it for a test drive last night, watching stuff on the SBS on demand thing that's on the telly.
And were you watching? A little bit of late night foreign X-rated material?
I didn't realize you were French.
Yeah, a little show called Atlanta.
Oh, sexy.
Sexy foreign show.
It is foreign.
It is foreign.
Mm.
And it's, you know, it's kind of, it's sexy. Oh, he's a sexy man.
You think he's a sexy man?
Donald Glover.
Mm.
You don't think he's a sexy man?
Are you kidding?
What?
I'm 100% serious.
You're heterosexual, you're not attracted. Like, I get that you're not attracted to him.
I think it's more that he's modern sexy, where he's got a bit of the dad bod thing going on.
Dad bod?
In the fucking, it's not actually dad bod. It's magazine dad bod.
He has like a baby body.
Yeah, but it's like a little bit of a tummy, but not much, you know.
What the fuck? Are we talking about the same guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is like by Hollywood standards. I'm not saying real world shit. But he's not Clark Gable, which is why... Ben wouldn't find him attractive because he's like, they need to look like they could play a detective in the 40s or else they're
just
not attractive.
More about my own standards of like, you know, body image. I see him without a shirt on in this is America clip and I'm like, man, this guy is fucking jacked.
Really? No, I don't think that.
He's playing up the belly deliberately, I reckon, as well, because maybe it's one of those teacher rolling in the TV saying like, let's analyze this video thing.
Sure.
But I think it's him.
Which is
just
sort of what
like,
that video is, yeah.
I know that this little bit of belly at the moment is a hot thing.
Okay.
I'm into it.
Yeah, just generally. I think it's the overall package. I don't find him to be an attractive man.
Right.
That's stupid. That's not even an opinion. That's just crazy.
Have you seen Atlanta?
The first episode.
Right. So no.
The first episode and the rest. No, yeah, just the first.
Right. I think it's good.
I like the first, yeah.
Using it on the, using that app on that smart TV, it's one of those things where it now works the way they said it was going to work like 5 years ago.
Right.
It's finally caught up to actually being usable.
Don't believe it, because I've always,
you can't trick me into loading up the SBS On Demand app on my TV while you're here, Adam. Nice try.
We get to see the last thing you actually watched.
I had a PC plugged into my TV for the longest time, and that was great.
Yeah.
That was a perfect way to do it. You get one of those little keyboards that you can have wireless and on your lap with the little mouse
a laptop
panel on it. Yeah, that's what I mean. And that's a good way of doing it. But how do video games look on there?
Video games look pretty good on there.
Mm.
Yeah, I only got the PS4 hooked up.
I'd have thought video games would look bad on a 4K TV.
Well,
guess I was wrong.
Yeah, you're a fucking idiot. You did have to ask, though.
Yeah.
What inputs does it have on the back? Can you plug in like a PS2 into that thing?
It's got 3 HDMI. I don't know if it has the...
Like the component or the
red, yeah, red,
the red,
white, yellow.
Blue.
Yeah.
These colours don't run. Do you want me to get up and check live on the pod what inputs it's got?
You guys know.
What you need the bat.
He's going to break it.
This ends in it fucking toppling over.
It's, yeah, exactly. He's just going to nudge it forwards. Oh, he's moving your lamp.
Don't touch any of my anime figurines. Got the big samurai sword hanging up over the fridge. No component.
I will say,
been phased out.
So we saw this TV, when was it, like 3 days ago or something?
Mm-hmm.
And only for a brief moment.
Yep.
And already going back to mine and playing The Witcher 3, I was like, oh, this is dog shit.
And see,
you're
that's
such
the...
a fucking fence looker over yeah. at your neighbor's yeah. house going absolutely. Like, oh shit, their lawn's... Like, their lawn could get burnt to a crisp. You're like, fuck, that looks cool.
That's yeah, really the only reason to down. Buy nice shit. It's not about your own enjoyment of it. It's about your friends enjoying their stuff a little bit less
oh,
when
yes.
they leave your house. And, boy, just hearing you say that, Ben, just picturing you in that apartment of yours, just weeping over your TV. I mean, that's just justified every penny that I spent on this TV.
I reckon Ben's TV, though, could still... plug a PS1 into it.
Big time.
But your one.
Yeah, it can.
So that it's actually less functional, your one. Like you've committed to only looking at games from 2005-ish onwards.
Well, you know, you got to move forward. You got to be constantly moving forward
in
this life. And that's why I've got a console hooked up to it that frequently receives ports of games from 2014. but, you know, I coveted your TV for a long time because my TV had a big crack through the center of it,
yes.
through the panel.
It's not a big rap for my TV, though. It just didn't have a crack in it.
Yeah. The fucking monitors that displayed airplane information at the airport were coveted by me, too.
Yes.
Like, look at that. No shit down the center of it.
Do you know if this thing does HDR?
I don't know.
Right.
I don't actually know. I also don't know what that is.
So it stands for hello, dude. I couldn't think of an R word.
I was watching Donald Glover on it last night, and yeah, I think it does have that.
Yeah. Mm. Well, for Ben, that stands for hello, dude. Ruck, which is yuck.
Yeah, I was doing a Scooby-Doo impression.
Rhyme, not horny.
What were we talking about? Oh, yeah.
HDR
is high dynamic range. It's basically the colors look better.
Oh, okay.
It can do like bigger differences. I'm not sure of exactly how it works, but my understanding of it is that pixels that are next to each other can show radically different levels of light.
Right.
So that it makes more definite differences in color and brightness
right.
in an image. So it gives you like a richer sort of color.
Hmm. Isn't that great that like even like the most piece of shit TV from, let's say, 7 years ago was the sort of thing that in the mid-90s, you know, we could only dream of.
Oh, absolutely.
So, but now we've gotten to a point where it's like, you know, everything's widescreen. Every big screens are like relatively affordable compared to what they were like in the 90s or even early 2000s. And, you know, everything's crisp, you know, high definition, DVD and stuff came in. Yeah. And so now we're really splitting hairs where it's like, oh, the purple's even more purple than you could possibly imagine. It's just like new shit being invented that is just really absolutely splitting hairs.
Totally,
like,
I would agree.
Yeah.
But then you see them next to each other and
that's
you go,
it. Yeah.
Fuck.
Like 5 years ago, it was like some TVs had blacker blacks.
Yeah.
Like that was the thing. It's like, oh, plasma can only go so black, but LED, now it's blacker. And I was like, black is black. And now I'm like, my blacks aren't good enough.
but the problem is, and this is what someone put me onto, is that you can very easily get caught up when you're in the store and you know, like you're saying, you're looking at them side by side and you see the difference. But when you buy even the inferior TV, it's just in your house and there's no basis for comparison.
Yeah.
And it's a nice thing that you own, so it's the best thing it can possibly be.
Totally.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, absolutely, yeah.
That's what you got to do. You got to buy, when you buy a good new TV, you got to also buy like a few models below it and have them set up side by side in your living room and constantly playing the same thing at all times.
Yeah, you have like an opener TV and then a headliner.
Do you ever... You know how sometimes you go to someone's house and they'll be like, God, I love my dog. And you meet their dog and you're like, this is a relatively shit dog.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's the only dog they really see most of the time. Yes. So they're like, this is what dogs are.
Yeah.
And then when you meet a real good dog, you're like, dogs can be more.
Yes.
There are certain breeds. You know, if you're not into a breed and you just can't imagine anyone owning one of them and loving it.
Shih Tzus, like, little yappy fucks.
Yeah, little yappy ones. To be honest, never understood the appeal of a greyhound.
Yeah, no, I'm in the same boat. Apparently they have a lovely temperament, but I've never known one, so I don't.
Greyhounds, a lot of the time people have them because they're rescue dogs as well.
Well, yeah.
So I get why you would hate it because you're a monster.
Exactly. No, because I fucking used to work out at Dapto and my whole livelihood has come under fire recently.
Yeah.
I'm not allowed to race them anymore. So, you know, I'm carrying a lot of resentment about the hardship that has befallen me.
Well, congratulations on the new TV, Tommy.
You just turned around out of your seat to look at it again and possibly find more angles about this TV to talk about.
I'm jealous as well. I think
absolutely. This is like a guy, a real man, purchasing like a Ford Mustang and all his mates, his mates standing around like,
Yeah, I know. I went and opened the hood before.
That's, I have been taking...
What, you only got HDMI in there?
Oh, man, I've only got a fucking Datsun.
Yeah.
I
could open it up on the freeway, but I can park mine in a small garage, so...
I have been taking this down into the car park of this building and just lying under it with a singlet on, just kind of like, you know, jealous anyone.
Yeah, just tinkering away.
But no, it is good stuff. I was a crafty consumer. I got in on the final day of an end of financial year sale. Mm. Saved myself a cool $500 on this.
Yeah.
I reckon next year is when I'm going to buy a new TV. I'm going to go for all that HDR shit, 4K.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you've got a regular standard old PS4. And over here in Australia, I don't know if it's the same in the rest of the world, Amazon's trying its hardest to break into the market who does not give a fuck about Amazon.
Yeah, I don't know if it's obvious that we're recording this in Australia, but we should point out to people that that's where we're all from and currently are.
Yes. I don't think we've ever said it on the show before. you're right. And speaking of sales, Amazon have tried to do something called Prime Day.
Prime Day.
Yeah.
If you go into any Amazon outlet, we have retail shops of them over here.
I think. We don't.
You wear an Optimus Prime costume.
Yes.
That's why I bothered to make up that they have retail stores.
Yeah.
So it's Warner Brothers Movie World. You just go there and you can get a cheap TV.
But
so Prime is like, you have to, it's Costco style, isn't it? Where you have to like pay a membership fee to be on there.
Yeah.
And then, so people go, oh yeah, you get the, you, if you get on there today and sign up, you get this thing for, you know, $50 off. It's like, yeah, but you have to pay $50 to sign up.
I think they do have it in America, like the Prime Day, and they definitely have Prime.
Yes.
So and we're just having the same thing over here now. Nobody gives a fuck.
No.
Like, but they've had like good deals, and I nearly bought a PS4 Pro because it was cheap.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
And absolutely do not need one.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you do now you have a 4K TV?
I actually haven't, because I only got it set up last night. I haven't played any like PS4 games on it yet.
Right.
I'm waiting to get a good chunk of time to go back in on God of War.
Oh, yeah.
Which, I don't know. I mean, I think for now it's enough. Like, just having the TV itself is enough of an upgrade that anything is going to look impressive on it.
Yeah, you know? So close to there being a next generation of consoles as well.
That's my thinking. It's like, I could probably afford one, definitely at that sale price, but... A, are my eyes good enough at this point to tell the difference? And is my TV good enough?
Yeah.
Probably not.
No.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I've just recently moved, which is an exercise where you just hemorrhage money nonstop. It's also come at a time where I'm 3 weeks away from going on an overseas holiday. So it's great financial planning by me. And I just had to stop myself and go, this is not, you can't fucking live like this. This is not sustainable.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, if it had come along at a different time, what was it? Yeah, $350 for a PS4 Pro. That's good shit.
It's real good shit.
Really good shit.
Yeah.
And I think did someone post this that they were even waiving the fee that the joining fee of Amazon Prime?
Yeah, you get a month free.
That was waived. Yeah. So it was $350, no strings attached, when they're like, what, $500 at JB?
Yeah.
Someone reckoned they sold their regular PS4 for like $250. This is someone in our Facebook group, I think.
Yeah, yep.
So it's like, okay, so essentially, $100 to upgrade to a PS4 Pro.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
It's very good stuff.
But and yet, even though the deal was that good, it took fucking forever for them to sell out because nobody here gives a shit about Amazon. It's so weird how ubiquitous it is in other countries. But it sucks over here.
Yeah.
I fucking would never buy stuff on Amazon if I had the choice.
Totally.
Well, I think they
had... Stuff's so much more expensive there. There's literally items on there, and I don't know if this is some bizarre fucking glitch with me, that would cost you $40 in a shop that are like $322.
Yeah, there's also...
It just doesn't have local shit.
They used to have Amazon.com today. Sorry, they used to have Amazon.com that would ship to Australia.
Yes. Yeah.
But then they introduced Amazon.com.au. There are warehouses in Australia now, and they mean it means you can't get stuff from overseas, and it's also more expensive.
Yeah.
Even with a currency exchange, it's like just more expensive.
Importing DVDs and shit off US Amazon when the dollar was good. Oh, nothing better than seeing that package turn up in the mailbox.
If you're in America, I'm sure that the financial crisis was tough for you, but man, it was a good time over here.
Muy bien, as we say down here.
I bought a house over Amazon.
When old K-Rod gave us $800 and the dollar was better than it had ever been, I spent that money on drugs on Amazon.
That might be interesting to our international listeners that there was a point where the prime minister of this country, this is like, what, a decade ago or something,
just bought us around.
Just everyone, everyone just got $800. I wasn't earning enough at the time. You had to be earning a certain amount to
I was in the same boat. Yeah. I think I was in uni, but I wasn't on Oz study.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So I just got nothing.
I got it because I was working.
Yeah,
and man, let me tell you, it's not that much money.
It was
pretty good.
You thought it wasn't that much because I was living at home and working at Grilled at the time.
Oh, yes.
And so $800 when you're that age is like, fuck me. Sideways, that's like everything.
It's because I had a car at the time and all that money just went into the car.
Sure. Right.
It just like cars just suck money out of your dick. And it's the best feeling in the world.
Sounds great.
I want to see that car.
it's so anyway.
Was this when you worked at Target?
No, I worked in a mobile phone shop.
Wow.
Yeah. End of story.
It was
the worst job. I was standing in, I think I've talked about this before, I was standing in like a little fucking kiosk.
You're a kiosk one,
in the middle of a shopping center. Oof. Just walking around going like, fucking, I reckon I could neck myself with that rope in the workshop. The worst.
The kiosk people at shopping centers, especially the ones who are selling skincare stuff, are some of the worst people on the planet. I got drive-by'd by one of them the other day. I was walking through Victoria Gardens.
The regional managers of those shops, I want to point out, they're the worst people in the planet.
Right.
And then they make you act as though you're that shit.
Right.
Because otherwise they fucking wreck your day.
Sure.
Well, the skincare people, I've got a bit of bad face skin. I got a bit of that rosacea, folks. And I was
Didn't
walking...
that show get cancelled? Because she said
some really racist shit. Yeah,
That would be great if they'd somehow been linked and then just I wake up overnight, check Twitter, I'm like, why is my skin so clear today?
But it's because it's only white.
But I was walking past one of these kiosks, the skincare kiosk, and I wasn't even anywhere near her, and this woman just yelled at me and went, oh, excuse me, and like she needed help. And I went over and she's like, what do you do to your skin? Because, bullied me in the middle of a shopping center.
The idea that she thought you were deliberately like doing something, man, I want to walk out. I don't know how to do this joke without making you feel bad, so I'm just going to do
it. No, go for it.
You know what? I'm going to walk out of the house looking like shit today, and I'm going to deliberately do it.
Yes. Mm. Oh, it was so offensive. And that's how you're selling your product, by just like, roasting someone who just... The fact that she'd called me over as well. Like, I wasn't inquiring, like going, oh, you know, you've got pretty bad skin. What are you doing? Like, she's like basically shouted it at me as I was going about my own business.
It's bad enough when they're just like, hey, excuse me. And you're like, what? And they're like, can I guilt you into donating to charity? Like, that's bad enough.
Excuse me. You suck. Now I'm listening.
I need to buy a lanyard. We should mention that we had a live show over the weekend too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Speaking of sweet stimulus package in the old bank account, we went to work over the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks to everyone in Melbourne who came down. Thank you to the people not in Melbourne who travelled for it.
Yeah,
Everyone else, go fuck yourselves. But yes, a great afternoon with the Melbourne Filth.
Yeah.
A full room, which was a lot of fun.
It was great.
Me and Adam both struck down by... mysterious illness early in the afternoon as we were getting ready to do the show.
I felt shit from then until today.
I still feel shit. I've gotten progressively worse each day.
Oh, God.
For the hour before we had to do the gig.
Your skin's looking pretty bad.
Thanks, man. What do you got? Sign me up. The hour before we recorded or did the show, rather, I couldn't think of anything worse than having to sit in front of people and perform. Mm. But it was great. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We, you know, we've done so few live things of this that I think we're still trying to kind of work out what it should be.
Yeah.
But that felt pretty close.
Yes, I agree. I also...
6 more dress rehearsals and we might be ready to take this thing to Broadway.
I didn't feel sick at all and I had a great time.
Mm.
But yeah, I think we should do more of them. Yeah. That was really fun.
Yeah.
Perfect venue for it, perfect setup, and a great crowd. Like really, really had a fun time. So yeah. It felt like a little group experience.
Feels good to announce that we'll be coming to Brazil.
Yep.
Soon.
We're coming to Brazil.
We're coming to Brazil. I did say coming. Yep. It's because I'm still a little bit sick. And you know how when you're sick, your C's turn into G's?
Yes.
I've got a gold. Well, sir, congratulations on the find. What would you like to purchase with your new wealth? Gold medicine. I'm sorry, sir, but I can't.
What a sketch.
Yeah,
medicine. Some rules. Where was that on Saturday? Yeah, we should mention that all of the bits that we really stressed over and tried to put some kind of work into fell absolutely flat, including one bit where we took audio of Michael Richards apologising on the David Letterman show for saying the N-word and put it over the God of War soundtrack.
Mm.
Just a lot of bewilderment in the room as that was being deployed.
But from that description you've just given, how could people not have understood why it was happening?
It's great stuff. I stand by it. I really stand by it.
I've listened back to the recording of that we did and the reaction is actually good.
Really?
I think because we could only hear the audio of what was playing. People laughed and then people laughed a lot at the end. So we maybe should be a little bit less precious.
Maybe we should drop that bit in at the end of this.
I'm going to be more precious.
Okay.
I'm going to get real fat
based
and
on
learn to whatever movie that is or book. Mm-hmm. What does she do in that?
It was both. She runs with chicken.
Well, I can do that.
Mm.
I can run with a chicken. All I need is a chicken and to learn how to run. But yeah, it was real fun. Thanks to everyone for coming.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
Lovely to meet the filth afterwards.
Mm.
You know, I'm used to doing live shows of my other podcast, which are just a fucking feeding frenzy of people being out of their minds drunk, screaming abuse at us nonstop. So look, I got to say, it was weird to get used to the shift in gears for the first 5 minutes of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Nice, respectful, easygoing vibe in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, great to meet the filth afterwards and good stuff all around.
Yeah.
So thanks, everyone. Sorry, am I boring you, Adam?
Yeah. That actually was pretty boring, so I yawned.
Yeah, fair enough. Why has that become a cliche thing?
Yawning when you're bored.
Well, but you don't yawn when you're bored.
No, you yawn when you're tired, and you get tired if you're sitting in a chair not being entertained for a while, I think is the thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
let's dig into it more because this is fucking exciting.
Oh, the irony. So we got to talk about some stuff, some breaking news on the day that we're recording this.
Mm-hmm.
Several people shared this in our Facebook Patreon page, been doing the rounds on the internet.
Mm.
15 minutes of an Uncharted fan film.
Yeah.
With, what's his name?
Nathan Fillion. Of Firefly fame.
Right, that's where he's from.
Castle
fame.
Yeah.
So what's the actual, I didn't look into this, but what's the actual story with this? Because it's like fan film, but they've got an actual, name actor in it.
Well, and he's a producer of it.
Right.
Yeah.
As well, I think this is a bid for him to star in whatever movie they're actually making.
Yeah.
From
right.
his perspective.
I think that's possibly true. The director is he's a working director. Like he's done TV stuff, a bunch of director DVD movies. But also, yeah, the guy who plays Sully is Stephen Lang, who was in Avatar.
Yeah.
Like he's also a famous dude.
Right.
It's weird because I saw it come up as fan film and I was like, oh boy, here we go. I thought it was going to be a bunch of 13-year-olds running around on the beach. But within the first couple of minutes, it's like, oh, this is... There's bits where you can see this doesn't have an actual budget behind it. But
yeah.
It does. It looks good.
I don't mind how it looks. Yeah. It's clearly filmed at a mate's mansion in California and only there.
Yeah. But, and the artifacts are okay, that came from fucking, hot potatoes on Chapel Street and was $6.
Totally.
That's obviously a fake prop scroll.
There's decent kind of fight choreography stuff though.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just
You're not into it.
No, I didn't like it.
You said you hated it? You thought it was shit?
Well,
the worst thing ever made.
Everyone involved should kill themselves.
I said I thought it sucked with several U's. So don't misrepresent me here.
Okay.
But I don't know. Just I a classic move. I yawned during it, and I don't know. It just I watched Ascent of Man, then skimmed through the rest of it, and which I think is perfectly valid to do with the quality of it.
It was only 15 minutes long.
I played the entirety of Kingdom Hearts and I hated it, and then skimmed through the rest of it. I've got some time to make up for.
Like, I thought it was good in the sense that Nathan Fillion plays the character very well.
I disagree with that.
That's really?
I'm not on the Nathan Fillion train in the same way everybody else is. I kind of think he's been bad in most of the things he's been in.
Oh, I'm a big fan.
I've never seen him in anything, so I liked him in this.
That's how he always is, basically. Right. Yeah.
Like one of the Halo games, or a few of the Halo games he was in, and I thought he sucked in that, and he was doing basically the same thing of like quippy kind of Han Solo stand-in.
That's exactly what he is in Firefly, but yeah, he's good. He gets a full Joss Whedon script to play with.
Yeah, I don't know. It just never never did it for me. There's something about him that just seems off, because it seems like a guy pretending to... It seems like he's constantly doing cosplay. Do you know what I mean? He doesn't seem like an actor to me. He seems like... there's just something about it that with me and him never clicked.
Yeah, okay.
I feel that way about anything that's set...
End of sentence.
Well, yeah, but like most kind of like medieval themed kind of stuff, including, not that it's specifically super medieval, anything kind of... mythology based, including including your boys' little mate, Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Anything like that, I find it so hard to detach myself from, this is people playing dress up, pretending to be old timey. I don't know what it is. Like other future stuff, it's not like I go, this is people pretending to be in space.
Sure.
There's just something about that specific look and time period where I don't know, I have a hard time. You know,
I've started really getting that with actors pretending they know how to do like military moves.
You know
what I mean? I saw some trailer for a movie with like a bunch of guns and shit, and it was like Ronda Rousey and Mark Wahlberg fucking reloading this gun. I'm like, maybe Ronda, but she can throw a punch. I don't know. But like Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
And again, he used to be a fucking tough boy back in the day.
I think it's become pretty obvious in movies when they haven't gotten like some kind of expert in... You know who I think is the most guilty of it recently? I don't know the actor's name, but you've just seen it. Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom.
Yeah.
The fucking military guy in that, the old dude.
Oh, yeah,
Where he's just like holding an Uzi, just like waving it around to direct traffic and stuff. And it's like, if you had had an actual military guy come in and you know, give him acting coaching of like... Here's how we would do it. There's absolute, like, most of the stuff he's doing in that.
Completely.
Like, the way he's holding his gun when he's walking around, he's, like, scratching the back of his head with it. It's like, there is just no way this guy's a decorated war hero.
Most actors can't convincingly pretend to sip coffee from a cup.
True.
Like that.
Well, like, I don't know, man. Keanu Reeves can do it, and him in fucking that Dracula movie is one of the worst performances I've ever seen a person ever give. Like, if he can learn to do it, then Mark Wahlberg can fucking probably not. But someone else can be hired in Mark Wahlberg's place, as should have happened in every occasion Mark Wahlberg has been in a film.
I think he was good in The Fighter.
He was okay in The Departed as well.
Yeah.
Boogie Nights.
Oh, he's great in Boogie Nights.
Okay. He's good. I like him.
Mm. Right.
I think he enjoys bad movies, though.
Maybe.
Like, he has bad taste.
He might just be a dumbass, He just keeps getting all these scripts and he's like, fuck, in the end it was his brother?
Yeah.
That's fucking sick.
Yeah. But I think he's on this path that most actors get on, where it's like, start off kind of picking and choosing, get a bit of heat, and now he's just like... Realize, you know, you got to make hay while the sun is shining. Mm. It's like people wanting to be in big, dumb movies. It's like, okay, cool, I'll take fucking 20 mil or whatever.
Denzel.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Denzel now.
Yeah. Right.
Denzel Green. He plays extras exclusively in movies.
Anyway, I liked this 15-minute snippet. I don't know that I would not watch an hour and a half of filmed in this exact way.
Oh, yeah, no.
I wouldn't watch an hour and a half of it.
I wouldn't watch an hour and a half of an Uncharted movie full stop, I don't think.
I felt like
It'd make me go like, oh, yeah, that's Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a similar way to how Jurassic World, the worst parts of that were its connection to Jurassic Park.
Mm. That's the best thing, isn't it, where they've decided that people care about the lore of Jurassic Park in the same way that they care about the lore of Star Wars, where it's she goes to the mansion and there's like a painting of the main scientist.
Richard Hammond.
Yeah. It's like, it's the guy, remember? And of course everyone in this world's like, shut up. Just get the fucking dinosaurs on the loose. Who cares?
Totally.
Show me what the little cartoon DNA thing. Show me what he's doing.
And if it had just been a separate movie about dinosaurs, that movie would have been better. But it reminds you that it's a Jurassic Park movie. And you're like, the first one was better than this the whole time. And so I feel like Uncharted would just be like, you know, home brand fucking Indiana Jones.
I don't know. I just want an Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah.
Like, I like those movies.
Yeah. I felt like...
I like Harrison Ford in those movies, though. And, like...
But I like Nathan Fillion. So, like, yeah, honestly, right. That's what I'm imagining.
Yeah.
Is Indiana Jones with him, I'd be into it. I think he's a good actor.
I kind of felt like in this that they had translated the tone of the games and of Nathan Drake into this... I felt like they'd translated this better than... inevitably what any Hollywood movie will end up doing with it.
Yes.
I was like, if they had this kind of vibe and spirit to it with an actual budget, it would be good. Because it seems to be people that get it, like what's cool about the games. One bit I didn't like is when he runs outside and he starts shooting people, it goes into like over the shoulder, which kind of reminded me of that bit in Doom where it goes into like the first person. It's like, get it? Like the game that you're a fan of, because why you've come to see the movie, it's like we know that the games exist. We know that they're based on that. Just a fucking don't worry about it. As I was watching it, I was like, I swear to God, if red shit comes up on the screen, I'm out. I'm absolutely out.
If Nathan Fillion goes, it's actually a luck meter, and then jumps out from behind the
rock. Was like, it would be cool if they like had bits in the movies where like he just is dying all the time, and this is like just the really full on things in those games where like people are fucking screaming over his dead body after he Drake. If they just did that constantly in the film, that would be cool.
Well, so apparently Nathan Fillion loves the Uncharted games, and the director of this short does as well. So I think that is why they got the feeling right. But also apparently they had this conversation where they were like, how are we going to do this stunt? And then they couldn't. So the director was like, what about we film it like it's a video game?
Right.
Which makes me think like a movie would be good if it was made by people who love the
proper
games.
Budget.
But also it would be good if the director was slightly more talented so that he knew that instinct was wrong.
Yeah, right.
Yes, totally. Yeah. That guy who's directing the Metal Gear Solid movie is that, and I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I loved Kong Skull Island. I thought that was a really fun movie. And
there's totally budget stuff in it where he's like out the front of the mansion and he's shooting those guys, and then Sully turns up in a Jeep and the guys start shooting at the Jeep, but he's like waiting for Drake to like run and get to the Jeep even though the Jeep is just like fucking taking fire from these guys shooting at it. And it's like, okay, if that was a sequence in the game, the Jeep would sort of be on the like it would be moving around, like it would, and you would have to like run and like jump onto it in some way.
Yeah.
But clearly they don't have the budget to do a stunt like that, so he just sits there in the parking lot. No, take your time. It doesn't even leave the engine running. It's just like sitting there. Better get going.
Oh, you want to go to the toilet? Yeah, better than going on the road. Nah, go back in.
Got everything. Righto. Just check that there's nothing behind, and here we go.
Oh, gotta get one of those reversing cameras.
But anyway, fun watch. I don't know what'll happen with it. Like, I don't know.
Nothing.
Does Hollywood? Yeah, Hollywood isn't going to take.
No, Hollywood is already making a prequel movie with Tom Holland in it.
Is that a thing? I didn't know that was a thing.
That's apparently the thing that's in development.
It feels like with every significant, like every video game franchise that is successful over a certain dollar amount, there is some bullshit pretend movie in the works that falls apart all of the time.
Yeah. I would have said if these guys really are as big of fans of this game as they say, I mean, I don't think they are, because if they were, Sully would have pulled in the Jeep, right? People shooting at him and then fucking just camera smash cut into his face, wiping sweat off his brow.
God, what's he going to say?
Boy, I'm sweating like a whore in church.
Very good.
I mean, that's you got to, if you really want to show that you're a fan, that's how you prove your credentials.
So that's a stunt that they were going to do but couldn't for budgetary reasons. It was not that, but he was going to fall out of a window.
Getting a sex worker and having a sit in a chapel.
Yeah. He was going to be sliding down a tiled roof going, whoa, 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 whoa.
Oh, right.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, they're in there.
That would be like, if they did make an Uncharted movie, that would be the trailer is just like black, then whoa, 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 whoa. And then it would just put up a date and the logo or whatever.
We've already had, this is already heaps of good ideas that they didn't include. We should do our fan version of that fan version just like remake that.
Yeah.
But we've got Sully's classic zinger and we've got a bit of whoa, whoa, whoa in there. Yeah.
If they did an Uncharted movie, I'd like to see them do it with the tone and spirit of the games and none of the characters. That would be the way for me to do it. Like, because Lost Legacy was kind of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. Like, they were characters from the other game.
Yeah, pick a side character.
Maybe, or like have someone show up in the background at some point or whatever, but just get completely different characters that would translate and be more interesting in
a film. What about Daughter of Drake?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Go for that. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And but completely write her character for a film because those characters I don't think maybe work in like 90 minutes.
Right.
I don't think they're interesting enough because it's just like gruff old cigarette chomping guy. I think that was maybe part of my problem with it is that when you put them out of the context of a video game, the weaknesses and the writing become apparent, which is that these characters are fucking cliches.
Well, yeah, when he's like, oh, it's a compass. Maybe we can use it to find this guy a haircut that didn't go out of style in 1990.
Totally.
And all the henchmen start laughing at it and it's like, these guys are fucking like murderers and drug dealers and stuff. Like, I don't think that they would find such a soft gag to be to their tastes.
I don't think those Whedon quips necessarily work. Like, they're so Marvel movie-ish now.
Sure,
it just makes me think of that and you want it to be something that, like Uncharted was a little more unique at the time because the style of the action and everything in how different it was from other games and that type of character interacting with your decisions, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm, like playing Indiana Jones was cool in that way because you'd fuck up and he'd go, oh!
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah.
And to make that sort of tone in a movie I think is a lot harder and
I agree. And like all of the flaws of like employing people who are not very good were apparent in this fan film. Like the script was pretty weak and the direction was pretty weak. But I think that the lead was good and it was clearly made by people who liked the game.
Yeah, so I think watched all of it. Like even though I was like, oh, that's a bit, but it still held me.
The challenge is just getting a great script writer and a great director to make a fun movie.
And you need a really good lead.
Yes.
Nathan Fillion isn't Harrison Ford, and Harrison Ford is what makes Raiders of the Lost Ark work in a lot of aspects.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it would be great if they were like, okay, Uncharted movie, it's happening, and you know, you're probably all wondering which bit of it, you know, which bit of the Uncharted lore are we focusing on for this movie adaptation? Well, you might remember at the start of Uncharted 4, Nathan sits down with his wife and they play a little game called Crash Bandicoot. And here he is, folks, and then it's just like a Crash Bandicoot movie, but it's called Uncharted the movie.
I'd be so into that.
Yeah.
What a great troll that would be. That would make him so sick.
Make Crash Bandicoot just like a human so that it's not an animated movie.
So it's like Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah. And Crash Bandicoot would just be some fucking dick with like three-quarter jeans and a wallet chain and blonde tips.
No shirt.
Yeah. And he'd still be spinning around. Like he's 34 and unemployed. Yeah. I'd watch that.
God, that would rule.
It's the sequel to Crash as well.
Yes.
Yes.
Crash Bandicoot is the second one.
Crash 2, Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah. Down Under.
Yeah.
All right.
That'll do. Bye, everyone. So a couple of games coming down the old pipe this week.
There's a couple of news bits as well. If we want to talk about them first.
Yeah. Let's do it. We're still on news.
Because that one that you mentioned just before is real interesting.
Yeah, yes. So Aliens, Colonial Marines, one of the most famous shit games of all time. Poorly developed, had a like dodgy development cycle apparently and was rushed out, I think. A little bit of news about that. So a guy, I think he's just like a programmer or like a guy who's
into like a
games.
Modder, I think. Yeah.
Right, okay, yeah. Was going through the code of this game.
Hello, modder. Hello, father. Here I am at. Listen to the rest of Ben's story.
Okay.
Good.
I thought you were going to say,
sweating like a whorey. In a churchy.
Yeah. So he's gone through the code. He's found a bunch of fucking typos.
Yeah.
So apparently, what was the one that was, the one I read was about tethering. So it was about AI tethering. Which informed...
One of the big complaints about the original release is that the aliens, because you know the whole thing with an alien is that they hunt you and they would just run straight at you, just like on their hind legs, run at you like a fucking, like a little one of those frill neck lizards.
Yes. So it was about, I think, tethering in the sense that they knew where you were and the AI would move around where you were.
Like a Pac-Man ghost.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yes. But tether was spelt wrong in the code, so it just didn't work. Like that bit of AI did not work at all.
It's so fucking crazy.
It's so funny.
It's embarrassing. Like if you're one of the guys who did that, that is embarrassing.
It's so like if you were the guy that found that, surely you'd be like, oh man, I can't do this to these poor guys. Like, they are going to get roasted so
imagine
hard.
If you were the guy who did it as well and just misspelled it. Like, yeah. They'd be fucking furious with him. He'd get a letter and be like, oh my God, they said I'm fried.
How long ago did this game come out?
2015, I want to say. Something right, so like that. Sure. Maybe even
so
earlier.
So it's like 3 years
old. I think
it's
older, yeah.
I would because Alien Isolation was after it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So what?
It's 2012, like, 2011, something like that.
So it's like 6 years or something on. I mean, that guy, if he realizes he fucked up, he'd be sitting there going, he probably just like today or yesterday was like, I reckon I've gotten away with this. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, turns out there's no statute of limitations on coding, my friend.
They would have tested the game, even though if it was rushed a bit, they would have tested it to some extent. And he would have been racking his fucking brains, him or her, they would have been racking their fucking brains, sitting there trying to figure out what had gone wrong with this.
Oh,
just pouring over all this shit.
That's the most frustrating thing about reading it is like, that would be... Like you would have spent like 23-hour days getting this out towards the end.
Yeah.
And like, why is this not working?
It's the dumbest shit. The thing that like this
what if they just like fix it now and put it out again as like best game of all time, like better than God of War, like anything else.
There's still heaps of problems with it.
There's other typos.
Alan's Colonial Marines. But
it's meant to say good game, not a good game.
It regularly happens to me that I will not have my glasses on and want to find my glasses and spend fucking forever looking for them all over the place. And then they were originally in the first place I looked, but just on the side of the sink or whatever. And I didn't find them because I
didn't have your glasses on.
And it's the most frustrating feeling.
Yeah.
And that is this poor person's experience.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Except
so brutal.
They never found their glasses.
No.
Someone else 6 years ago had to go there up your ass, you fucking idiot.
Some like Waypoint or Kotaku or something will interview this person, I imagine,
totally.
At some point.
We got to try and get the exclusive on this, boys. Yeah.
I bet they're going to end up going like, I actually don't give a shit.
I hated that.
That's why I put the typo in because I didn't put much effort into making this game because we all thought it sucked.
Yeah.
God, that's brutal. Poor guy. Or girl.
So any other news, Knox?
There was very little of it. Hold on.
Why does Hellblade suck so much? Is that a typo as well?
I reckon all the reviews of it were typos.
Oh,
hickory dickory dock. Hellblade can suck my ass.
Andrew Dice Gamer.
Little Miss Muffet sat on her tuffet. It's PS4 is worse than Xbox.
Andrew 20-sided Dice Clay. Yeah, bitch.
Yes.
D&D, Andrew D&D, whatever.
It's pretty close to Stavros 360. I think Stavros 360 opens for Andrew Dice Gamer.
Yep.
Sure.
Yep.
A German court banned vague dates being used in promotional material for games.
Yes.
Get dates like coming soon or this fall and whatever if you're allowing pre-orders.
I think that's like JB Hi-Fi love a bit of that where they'll just have like in each aisle it's like as soon as there's like E3 a thing will have dropped at E3 like where it's literally just like the whole trailer is just the logo and it's like coming soon and they'll be like anyway $80 if you want to like,
they've accepted
and who does this who goes in on that.
Yeah, I don't know.
People do though because it's a massive thing, like pre-orders are a big deal and like for whatever reason it's not like it should happen never.
Yes.
I understand pre-ordering when there's like a trailer and an actual release date, but when there's literally no information about the game, that is an absolute madman move.
I'm not on board. Like I've pre-ordered something once and it was about a month out.
Yeah.
It was a game I knew I was getting and there was a bonus and a discount. And and it was going to preload onto my PS4. That was why I got it.
Right.
Yeah. I've done that a couple of times. I've pre-bought and preloaded on the Switch eShop a couple of times. Mm. And I pre-ordered my Switch because I wanted to definitely get one the day it came out because I didn't know if there'd be a shortage or whatever.
Because I barely ever buy digital, I don't pre-order stuff because on the day shop, Big W or something, will go like, actually, it's cheaper here.
Yeah.
The stuff I pre-ordered has been like indies and just wanted to have it like wake up and have it pre like that. Yeah. But
That Final Fantasy VII remake that might not happen now. You've been able to pre-order that for like 4 years
at this point.
Like, it's fucking crazy what they will allow.
It's like they've become a bank or like a lending thing where they take your money, they gain interest.
Eventually you get a dividend. Yeah, Star Citizen and fucking shit like that like literally may never come out.
Yep.
I guess that's Kickstarter, which is different. Anyway, it's, I think, a real good thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep.
So that you can still pre-order shit.
Right, they just can't.
It has to have a firm date.
You can advertise your shit, but you can't accept pre-orders unless you have a firm date.
Mm. That's what it should be. I think that's definitely, that seems pretty reasonable.
Yeah. So good on you, Germany.
Mm.
Leading the way once again.
there was some shit with Splatoon online, like Nintendo wasn't banning cheaters. This guy hacked into it and like changed the main page to say, put in anti-cheat stuff, Nintendo, and they banned him.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. That's great.
Rainbow Six Siege has introduced a thing where it can detect if you use a slur and you're instantly banned from the game if you do.
That's great.
Oh, yeah. And I saw someone on Twitter. I don't know if this was doctored or not, but it was a tweet of someone like tweeting at the Rainbow Six page going like, hey, I just got banned for calling someone a nigger. And they reply and go, good. Like an official verified account for the game. It's fucking flaming this little kid.
Yeah.
That's so great.
Yeah.
That's
fair.
Well, that's about it. No, again, like still in the sort of hangover period from E3 at the moment.
And we're in the doldrums of video games.
And leading up to the bit where all the shit comes out for the year. Mm. So, yeah, there's not heaps of big stuff going on.
Mm. Couple little treats, though, on the Switch last Friday. Captain Toad Treasure Tracker came
out. Oh, nice. Is that a new game? Is that a brand new game?
It must be, surely.
Well, because on the Switch, like, they're desperate for things that aren't ports at the moment. And so is that a brand new game?
People are clamoring for new games.
Tommy, is this a brand new game?
No, it's not.
What the fuck?
I mean, we'll be talking about a brand new game on the Switch in a minute.
Doesn't look like a brand new game.
That's a good point. But yeah, you've played this, Adam, not on the Switch, but you played it.
I played all the Captain Toad Treasure Tracker on the Wii U.
Yeah.
And that game's fucking awesome.
It's so good.
And again, it's one of those ones, it's the same as with all of these Wii U ports. If you didn't play it originally, it is a good game still.
It looks fun. I've seen but a moment of Tommy playing it on his big TV and it looked really fun.
It's great. And this is one of those Wii U ports where it like not only coming out on the Wii U
This is on the 3DS as well, by the way, too.
Yes,
right.
Not only coming out on the Wii U, which already curses it to no one having played it, but came out pretty late in the lifetime of the Wii U, which means even less than when it was in its, if there was a heyday.
Yeah. When it came out as well, and I think this is still a bit of a problem with it, it was priced way above where it should have been.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like, there's not heaps in this game, and it's all good, but it's not plentiful.
Right. It's classic Nintendo where it's like each level has, you know, three little gems to go. You know, if you're a completionist, it'll keep you busy for a pretty long time.
Right.
But if you just barrel through it.
Yeah. But it's about 8 hours long or something in the Wii U version if you want to do everything.
I remember I remember it being announced and because it's based on, these were little levels that were in Super Mario 3D World. Each world had one of these, so I think there was like eight all up.
Right.
So, and they were fun in that, and then they were like, oh, we're making a whole game out of them, and it seemed like, in the way that they announced it and in the lead up, that it was just going to be just a really, I don't know, just like a download only thing that didn't have much to it. And even though you're saying there's not heaps to it, there's still, I remember as it got closer being like, oh, there's way more to this than I thought there was.
Just at the time, it was less than the amount of a full price game.
Yeah.
Right.
It expands on it a lot more. Like, there's really fun minecart levels where you go into a first person perspective and you're like, you're going a little mine track and you have to shoot turnips at stuff that's like around the track.
And this is new to the Switch version, right?
No, it was in the Wii U.
Was it?
Those levels were in the Wii U. Yeah.
Oh, wait, yes. Okay, yes. Yeah, they were. And if you don't know what the game is as well, it's like you play as Toad or Captain Toad and you can't jump. You can only walk sort of very slowly around this basically little puzzle cube of a level and you can rotate the
diorama
level.
Thing.
Yeah. You can rotate it however you want and it tries to hide from you visually where stuff is. It tries to use perspective against you, and you have to kind of explore this little cube and find these little gems and stars and coins and stuff by exploring around and solving all these little puzzles with like spinning a lever and then it'll move this thing, but then you can't get to that thing, or like there's a plant in the way of this thing, so how do I get rid of the plant and that sort of stuff.
I'm pretty sure I've said this on the show before, but it's like if Nintendo made Monument Valley.
I was about to, that was my comparison.
It's really, really Monument Valley, but with a bit more... You know, if Nintendo made Monument Valley and if it wasn't on an iPad. So it's like got a bit more intricacies to it where he can pick up, like there's enemies in it, so you can pick up turnips and like throw them at enemies to get them out of the way, and lots of kind of like zipping down pipes and kind of moving around into different areas and having to, you know, flick a switch down there to open up a bit of the level that's like up above you, and yeah, and then still and using the rotate and kind of zooming in to kind of see where everything is.
Right.
Yeah, it's great. There's not heaps to say about it. It's a lot of fun. It's a great game for the Switch.
It's got that
handheld mode.
That classic like Nintendo look of looking really, really good, especially when it's more crisp on the Switch as well.
Yeah, really polished.
But very simple looking, just bright colors and nice little circles.
Yeah. Lots of fun. Good little bite-sized game.
Totally.
Play in little increments.
It's real good. I think it's very... I think it would be pretty much universally appealing to. Like, unless you really don't like puzzles.
Right.
Like, but even then, it's not really puzzles. If you really don't like puzzles and platformers, then you probably won't like this game.
Yeah, I wanted to put this as a thing in our Facebook group. A game that...
Patreon, you know, only, $5 a month and you gain access.
Yeah, well, here's a sneak peek of something that I might post in there if I can be fucked / don't forget.
Yes.
Obviously, video games is an art form, so which is of course means that it's subjective, but like a game that you cannot fathom someone not liking it. Like, you know that there's people out there who don't. And this is that for me. Like, it's charming, it's simple, it's fun, it's a little puzzle. I understand it not being your favourite game, but someone trying this and going, I hate this and do not want to play any more of it.
Right.
I just do not, like, is something to me where it's like, I don't see how you can hate this
totally.
Game.
Totally. Literally the only problems I have with it are nothing to do with the actual design of the game.
Yeah.
If I were given this game for free and if everyone could get it for free,
right,
there would be no reason to ever not get it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess that's true with any free things. Other than like if someone's like, hey, have a free knuckle sandwich.
Oh.
Then you go, ooh, a knuckle sandwich.
Yeah.
Yum, yum.
Yeah.
And they go, I tricked you, buddy. It's the only sort of downside is that It's I imagine on the Switch still, because they've added a couple new things, but it's still pretty light on content, I think.
Yeah. Right. How much?
A full price game.
How much it?
I think it is. It is a little cheaper than your average Wii game. Than your average Switch game. I think it's like maybe $50.
Okay.
I think it launched with that and is regular Nintendo price now.
Oh right.
So like 79 or whatever.
I'm really? It's not seven. I would be shocked if it's 79. I remember seeing it on the shop.
Prepare
ready
shocked.
For a knuckle sandwich. I've typed in Captain Road, but I think it'll know what I mean.
It does not
know what I mean.
The other game that came out on Friday is Octopath Traveler.
Yeah.
This might be the longest this is the last game to come out that was announced. This was announced like in that first Nintendo Switch presentation.
Certainly was.
Where they first showed everything off. So they showed arms. And
I don't know. Like Captain Toad was announced in 2013 and that only just came out.
And this has been on the boil for a long time. Now, this kind of never interested me. I kind of was like, oh, yeah. I remember us all when they showed this being like, yeah, cool. A fucking pixel game. Who gives a fuck? Mm. And I don't have that strong attachment to old kind of 16-bit era Square Enix stuff that a lot of people do.
Sure. I think from memory I was like, I love Square, so hopefully I like this game. But I didn't really know what to make of it,
I didn't really care. And then that first demo went up like over a year ago.
This is Octopath Traveler we're talking about, by the way. I don't think we've said the name.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I said that. You're on your phone.
Well, we got to say it six more times. Captain Toad is $59.
Yeah, right.
Australia.
$59. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
$56, $57, $58. Okay, right, $59. It sounded like yes.
$3 more than what 60. I have in my bank account. I played that first demo, which was, ages ago, like over a year ago. You and I both played it.
We did.
Just got it. It was like, all right, free demo, talk about it on the show.
Yep.
Did not like the demo And it's just been off my radar since then. Mm. Haven't been following its progress at all. They put another demo up in the last few weeks, I think maybe E3 time.
Yep.
And enough people had said it was really good and that you can import your progress from the demo into the full game if you get it. And I was sort of thought, ah, okay, whatever. Just looking for something new to try one night. Got hooked on it and bought the full version and I really love it.
Yeah, right.
Like, I really love it and I'm kind of glad that I had no hype for it or attachment to it because I would have been like, you know, it's taken so long to come out since hearing about it that it would have driven me a bit insane. It's kind of the best thing where like the day before it comes out, it's like, oh, I'm really interested in this now.
Yeah.
And I get to get it when I wake up tomorrow. So yeah, I'm really into it. You've not been playing it, Adam. You have been playing it, Ben.
Yes. Yeah. I'm much the same trajectory, except I didn't play the demo before the release.
Right.
So I waited until it was released and I was like, I'm going to get the free demo still, play it knowing that I can import it into the game should I buy it. And I'm still only like 2.5 hours in. So I'm not up to the demo running out yet.
It is – I kind of hope it – pretty much every demo does this moving forward. You can, if it is a demo where you're just playing the start of the game, that you can carry on your progress. Because we've talked about this before, it is the most frustrating thing to just do the same shit again. I think it's really, really great. So it's basically these 8 separate characters. You choose which one you start as, and then that is your main. And they each have a story that unfolds over this huge map, and you gather, you go around. Meeting all of the other characters and you, when you meet them, you can choose to play through their chapter one of their story.
Yeah.
They join your party and then it kind of opens up on the map where it shows you points where you can aim for. So like this character's chapter 2, this character's chapter 3, this new character's chapter 1. It doesn't make a huge difference who you choose at the start. It's basically just, you know, the order that you're going to progress around the map and... you can change your party. Your party has 4 people in it at a time. And so the only thing you're tethered to, like you have to have the person that you start with, you have to have them in your party at all times. So they can't be swapped out. But I really like, so far I'm on my 4th character now.
Okay.
Just kind of gone to a new town. And
so are you doing you're up to chapter 1 of your 4th character or you did chapters 1 through X of the first character? And then move on.
So they're all the main towns for the starters are all pretty close together. They're all kind of next to each other. So it's basically, you do one story in one town and then you kind of go through a bit of wilderness that's just like takes you maybe half an hour to get through.
Yeah.
And then you're in the next town.
And it seems like you want to do chapter 1 of every character, then chapter 2 of every character.
You can sort of do whatever you want. You could bypass every town and just go around grinding through the woods and stuff.
Yeah. But then you'd be on your own, which is crazy.
But I mean, you could do that if you could just get 4 and go, I love these 4. I don't need to go and meet any the other characters just go. What you could do is you could get 4 people in your party and then only do your main characters chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, however many there are.
Because you have the option of doing chapter 1 of these characters, but you can just take them with you when you meet them as well.
I think so.
Right.
I think you don't have to see their prologue. I've done it with everyone, but I mean, you could play through all their chapter 1s and then never do any of the rest of their chapter 2s and just plow through the main story of the one you've made or one of the other ones that you've met along the way.
And so it seems like from what I've played, chapter 1 is going to take about 90 minutes for each character.
Yeah, I'd say. Roughly that, Yeah, and I think I've read a bunch of stuff about how, you know, the writing and the stories, like none of them are particularly like mind-blowing and they're kind of tropey, but they're all different enough from each other where, you know, I'm finding myself interested in them. Like, you get to a town and you find the guy and you go back and you kind of watch it unfold. And it's all pretty much just like, something's happened in the town or, your character has this thrust to go outside of the town into a cave or dungeon or whatever and face off against a boss.
Yep.
And then their chapter 1 is over and then they're in your party now and you move on to the next thing. I haven't gone on to the chapter 2 of anyone to kind of know like what happens in their stories beyond that. I think the style of it is great. Like I love how it looks. Like even just in the 4 towns I've gone to, they're different enough visually from each other that like turning up to a new place is genuinely, pretty... Yeah, pretty spectacular in the differences between even just like kind of a more foresty kind of look versus a more deserty kind of look. Who did you start off as?
The black mage. So he's like the scholar. He starts in like a pretty generic town.
Yep.
His like special ability is like he talks to someone once and he kind of gets their history. And you can get like a bonus item or something like that.
That's my special ability too.
Oh, really?
I can take one look at someone and know everything about him.
Mr. Sherlock Bones.
That's me. Hey. Do you want me to do you guys?
No, it's okay.
One look and I know your entire backstory.
No, yeah, that's fine. That's fine. We're good.
Yeah. Okay. Got a look to cover. So.
I could take a look at both of you and know that your backstories are you mean dicks. Well, if I could do a bit I wanted to do, but yeah, sure. No.
No, we didn't ask, so that's a real shame.
Yeah. so that's like his thing, his little ability. And his story is about solving a mystery, basically.
Right.
And he's a magic user, so that's his combat style. My opinion on this game is that the combat is really fun.
Yeah.
The visual style is really great and something I've not quite seen exactly before.
The diorama sort of thing is a different take on the whole 2D throwback.
And it's done really well.
I think it works really well. Certain bits are actually like rendered like water. So just it's like, 3D, 3D kind of models with 2D textures on them. But then for things like water, it looks like real water. So it's just like one area has – each area has like one element of it that is kind of rendered to look realistic. Which
like a different version of Paper Mario almost.
Kind of, yeah. Mm. Yeah, right. And it works really, really well.
In motion, it looks fantastic. I don't think it can be captured properly in 2D, obviously, because it just looks like an old game.
I always thought it looked a bit lame.
In motion, it's great. It's worth playing the demo just to see how it actually plays.
All right.
It's quite – engaging.
Even when they announced it at that event, like, a year and a half ago, I was like, I don't know, a bit over pixel art stuff, I don't care. But it has enough life to it that it really, really works.
Totally.
So it sounded like you were going to get to a bit that you weren't.
yeah, here we go.
The story is not bad in a like, oh, it's poorly written, it doesn't make sense, but in like, it's the definition of boilerplate.
Right.
Yeah.
It is so tropey. I've seen it a million times in the million RPGs I've played.
Yeah.
And the fact that they don't intertwine and they don't build as a group, which is what I love about these kind of games.
Because this is criticism, because this is something that is commonly being said by people.
Yes.
That like...
Because you can do it in any order and separate and you can play as any character as your main.
Yeah.
They all have to exist independently.
Yeah.
Which means they don't benefit from being intertwined in the ways that stories do.
Sure.
That's almost like Mass Effect 2 when you went through and did all of the like side missions for each of your party members in that. They were each separate, very defined in the same world, but it was basically you went there and then like maybe fucking Rex would say something about like, well, this planet's weird.
But that all relies on the fact that you are the same character all the way through, and what deepens and changes is your main character's relationship with those side characters.
Sure.
So that does not happen in Octopath.
Right. Do they talk to each other at all?
No.
Oh, that's kind of weird.
Yeah. I will say I'd read this a bunch before I started playing it, and so far it hasn't bothered me, and it's also I kind of like it. Gives it this kind of weird tone that I really like.
It just sounds like a bunch of supportive friends who don't want to meddle in anyone else's business, but they're there for them, but they're not going to throw
only physically.
No, they're not going to throw any judgment or opinion at them. It's just, hey, you need to deal with this mystery you need to solve.
Yeah.
Black mage, my friend, I'm going to shut my mouth and help you. That sounds bloody nice.
It just makes it feel so strange, which I kind of enjoy about it. It's just like these strangers coming along to help you fight battles, but then not in any way interested in anything about you or any of what's going on with you. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Like, for me, it's kind of, it's kind of working. Like, I kind of like, maybe it'll, as I get further along, it'll start to become
annoyance.
And I also was braced for it because I'd read this in reviews before I started playing it. I wasn't going in thinking like, oh, I can't wait to see how they all,
But it does sound fucking silly. The more it goes on, I think it will become more apparent that if somebody is coming back to a place and going like, oh, this thing happened and it's crazy, and then not going like, and also
what the fuck, I saw this other thing happen.
Sure,
like,
sure.
It seems as though it's a problem that could have been fixed with little tiny, tiny extra bits of dialogue that have been peppered in similar games like Mass Effect 2, where you would get, like, having compared it to that, you would get, like, if you took different characters with you on these missions that weren't related to them, they've taken that time to write them in little bits.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think, quite clearly they've just decided, like, okay, this is a thing we're just not going to address at all. We're just not going to worry about it. Better to I think the thinking is probably just better to not do it at all than to do it a little bit and potentially half-ass it and still have gaps in it. Let's just not even try, which, I don't know, like, I kind of...
When an RPG like this, though, is so often the things you remember about it are that, like, friends on the road aspect of it. It is a strange thing to kind of cut out.
It really does boil it down to just combat and looks.
And then eight unrelated stories that you have to kind of ignore the fact that for gameplay reasons there are these three other characters.
I think I said this in one of the groups that we're in. It basically plays like eight bits of DLC for an existing game.
Right.
Which, it like, as long as you go into it knowing that and accepting that about it, it seems like something that it just exists about the game and isn't necessarily a knock on it. But it seems like it's something that is less of a stylistic choice, again, from not having played it, and more of a you should have done this because it would have objectively made the game better.
Yeah, I think so. Like, the fact that there's been a million games like this and the best ones have this in it, it seems like, well, did you just run out of time? Like,
I don't know. I mean, I do think it's a stylistic thing. To just absolutely leave it out is, like, I don't think it's a failing of it. I don't think it's something that they've
doing.
I think they've just decided to... I think they've deliberately decided to not do it.
Right, but you could argue that a movie that doesn't turn on the camera is a deliberate stylistic choice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, anything can be... Okay, so... I don't know if the maths on this is correct. I typed in 8!, which is like 8 times 7 times 6 times 5, which I think is the amount of different things they would have needed to have done.
Oh, yeah, like combinations, yeah.
I guess so. And that's 40,320 combinations. So it is a lot, but dude.
I guess that's the thing. The choice they made was having 8 potential main characters.
Mm. Yeah.
Which, hamstrings their ability to provide...
But there's so many RPGs that have all these side characters
but
then do give them fully fleshed out side things as well.
So and interactions with each other,
But I guess I'm always interested in things where it's like, well, yeah, I mean, there are heaps of things that do that. And so for better or worse, I like anything that goes, yeah, we're just going to do it completely we're just going to have a crack at doing it completely differently.
Yeah.
And, like, not putting that stuff in. And to me, like I said, I think that it creates this kind of weird tone that, for me personally, is kind of working towards my enjoyment of it as a whole.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it gets away from me the further on I go. But, yeah, I'm just really enjoying going through and playing everyone's kind of, like, first chapters of their stories.
Yeah.
We do need to quickly wrap this up soon, but the combat is really great.
It's fantastic.
So it has this mechanic in it where enemies are vulnerable to things and they each have like a shield with a number in it, which is how many hits they need to take from something they're weak to in order for you to break them, and they skip a turn and then they're paralyzed and they take more damage from stuff that you... So working out... you don't know what they're vulnerable to until you hit them with that kind of attack.
Yeah.
So kind of working that out between, you know, amongst the people that are in your party at any given time, what's going to be able to take them down.
And this is like fire, ice, a physical hit or whatever.
That sort of stuff. Yeah. And then trying to work out how you're going to capitalize on taking them out of the turn. Because, you know, certain boss characters will need like 10 hits of a thing to take them out.
Yeah.
You also have a thing where you have, what are they called? You level up boost points.
Ah, yes.
Where every turn you gain a boost point, which means that you can get extra hits. So on a turn you can save up all 5 of your boost points and then go up to a 5-time, like a 5-time hit kind of thing.
So this kind of sounds like Persona to me, Persona 5, where the drive of that combat system for me was figuring out how to do it as quickly as possible because things were weak to different elements.
Yeah, the weaknesses, definitely.
That's the overlap, definitely.
Yeah. But it's kind of utilize. Yeah, I mean, that's it. Yeah, knocking them all out. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
In that kind of trying to do it as efficiently as possible. And at first it has this puzzle solving element. And then when you know how to get everything, you're just demolishing.
Totally. Yeah. And the boost thing kind of adds another layer to that, where it's like, if this guy is, you know, weak to sword attacks and you've got a sword guy in your party and he needs five to be broken, well, then it's like, okay, well, do I just wait a few turns and then I can just unleash five attacks on the one turn with this guy because I've saved up those boost points? Like, how you kind of manage those two things is what becomes really interesting and really strategic about it.
Mm, but cool. That sounds cool.
But yeah, I think it's great. As a turn-based thing, it's really fun. Your own mileage with the lack of overlap, I think, will vary and ditto the writing and the storytelling and stuff. But I kind of don't mind tropey stuff because it's kind of done with enough character, and the kind of the style of everything else that's going on is so charming to me that it's like, yeah, this is a well-worn path of storytelling, but that, you know, it's that's fine. I mean, it's
the thing wears it. It's a throwback so on its sleeve as well.
Yes. That's another side of it. Yeah.
I think that it's just good enough to get me through moment to moment. But, like, yeah, without the combat being so cool and interesting and intricate and well-balanced and the look, I wouldn't be playing.
Cool. This sounds like something we'll be revisiting as well.
Yeah, like, yes, apparently you can easily sink tons and tons of hours into it. My only thing from this outset is, like, I wonder if I'm going to end up getting bored in the sense that it's just it's battles and then it's just kind of walking from area to area. Mm-hmm. And I know that's kind of what those old school kind of RPGs having puzzles and stuff where it's like, oh, you need to go find this guy and get this thing, like, without those elements, which I don't believe it has any slash much of. But it just looks so. Oh, and quick shout out, the music is great.
The
music is really tremendous.
Yes.
Like, the score is so good.
Yes.
So yeah, stylistically it's a fucking good ass time. I'm really enjoying, and just that thing of, like, opening up the map and seeing you know, what other areas there are to visit. And it does, just quickly, it does a really cool thing where enemies on, when you're on just the main map bit, will be presented as these really simplistic kind of 16-bit era top-down sprites. But then when you get into a battle with them, especially the boss characters, they turn into these kind of, they take up half the screen and they're a lot more detailed and they have a lot of character to them, which I think is really cool that you sort of see them in a different context.
Totally.
When you go into that.
This sounds great. I'm going to go in when I have the time.
Mm.
See you in September.
Well, we better wrap it up for another week here on Filthy Casuals. I can't think what's coming out in the next week to talk about. There's a game called Pool Panic on the Switch, which is like a little indie thing that looks fun. But yes, filthycasuals.com.au. Hit us up on the socials.
Yeah.
We've got the Patreon that you can subscribe to if you want to support the show.
We'll
and
have
keep it going.
We'll have a new Bandcamp episode going up on the tier there very soon. Should be this weekend.
Yep.
And then the following week for everyone else.
Yep.
Yes.
Keep an eye out for that.
Should we say about what? No, we'll leave it as a little surprise.
A little cheeky surprise.
Bunch of good ass stuff coming up. A bunch of themed episodes because we will be in different countries again.
Yeah.
Some fun ideas, some stuff we've already recorded for those.
They're fun, I think.
Yeah.
I think they're just a little bit of a lark.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, sort of eight unrelated things, but it doesn't really matter that they're unrelated. There's not eight of them either. But no.
Well, we should say we're in a position where we're recording things pretty much every day of the week at the moment. I got to tell you, it's hell.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm having to do the same thing with my other show. And literally, I'm in hell at the moment.
Yes,
it's torture.
We're doing the Game of Thrones one and we have to watch hours of
a TV show as well. Yeah. Like, that show's good. But, man, when you're forced to watch a large amount of it at once, it's real Clockwork Orange.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm recording a lot of this stuff in my new apartment that's in a building. And, you know, boy, I'm wondering how long it's going to be before I get kicked out of here for having just non-stop, extremely loud conversations after hours.
It's not going to be because of this podcast.
I had to pull my drum kit out of the car and a few people saw me in the car park and boy, they did not look pleased.
Oh, no.
All right, we got to wrap it up. Thanks very much for listening once again. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
see you later, friend. Goodbye, pal. See, au revoir, motherfucker. I was going to try and do eight of them. I had my fingers up.
You stumbled on two.
Yeah. So how many ways are there to say goodbye?
See ya, sucker.
Farewell, mate.
That's five.
That's two from you, so...
That's
bon
five all up.
Bon voyage, monsieur.
Yep. Arrivederci.
Opposite of hello, dude.
I think that's eight.
Yeah.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.